Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Ernesto Reza Garduño, the CEO of Mayan Analytics. Good afternoon, Ernesto. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Doing great. Thank you for having me. It's exciting to be part of this podcast and this journey.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you could join us. And what time is it where you are today? And it's 3:40 here in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's 5:40 over here in Playa del Carmen, Mexico.
Oh, so it's happy hour.
Yeah.
So, well, cool. So, well, to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yeah, for sure. So I was originally born and raised in Mexico City. Then through my father's job, went to Houston. Eventually got to Boston, where I studied mechanical engineering and entrepreneurship at MIT. And then just went through a series of like consulting experiences, then went into the energy industry through NRG, where I was doing like a rotational development program. Then I decided that corporate life was not for me. So I took a hiatus from professional life and focused on what I really wanted to do for myself. And in that process, went through and tested several entrepreneurial ventures. And coming to 2018, the summer of 2018, I grew up playing soccer, love soccer, and I had planned to go to the World Cup in Russia. And prior to that, I also had a friend's wedding in the Dominican Republic, and just a lot of travel was going to be boiled down into like a month and a half. And I was like, man, I need to make some money because I'm about to spend a lot of money. So then I decided that I was going to go into e-commerce, particularly through Shopify. And then when I was started pursuing that endeavor, another member at MIT, I was part of a fraternity group there, their Theta Delta Chi. And there was an older alum from the 90s, Carlos Cashman, who was known in the fraternity group to be a successful entrepreneur. He had two prior startups that he successfully exited from. And he emailed out to the alumni list saying, like, hey, I'm up to my shenanigans again, this time in e-commerce, particularly Amazon. If you're interested, let me know. So I saw it as an amazing opportunity to go learn from a successful entrepreneur, and particularly into the industry that I was going into. So I decided to give it a shot, joined Thrasio as employee number 3, came on as a, and what Thrasio does is they buy up existing Amazon FBA brands and roll them up into a portfolio. Mm-hmm. And they've been extremely successful with this. So I joined there as employee number 3, came on as the first brand manager, which means the first acquisition that they made, which was a brand selling at $1 million plus brand selling out of 7 Amazon marketplaces. I was fully managing and operating it. And 6 months in, given that my whole background professionally has really been around data, transitioned to my role as head of product and help develop the internal reporting and automation systems at Thrasio. By the time I left, we had over 60 brands under management and more than $200 million in annual sales through Amazon. We had gotten our horn about a year and change after starting the endeavor. And at that point, I decided that, you know, I felt pretty confident in my knowledge of Amazon and what drives growth to businesses, and wanted to focus fully on technology and on software, and decided to start My Analytics. And what My Analytics is a growth automation platform for Amazon sellers, where we focus on driving accelerate growth to brands through optimized digital advertisement and better inventory management, leveraging data analytics, data science, and machine learning to empower the sellers and to be able to make more accurate decisions.
Very interesting. So before we get into the details, did you ever get to the World Cup?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've had the great fortune to and privilege to make it to that World Cup. And I at school, I studied Portuguese with the sole intention to also go to the World Cup in 2014 in Brazil. So I was able to go to that one just to like the experience. I didn't get to go to any games, but I said, the World Cup and soccer are top notch for me. And so if possible, I don't plan to miss any World Cups from here on forward. So if anyone's going to be in Qatar 2022, you know who to find.
All right. Well, if I make it there, I will look you up. I've never been to the World Cup. I would certainly like to go someday. So, although I would root for the US, I have to admit.
It's that's part of the experience. It's what I love about it so much is that you are able to interact with so many different cultures in this setting that is just filled with happiness and enjoyment and celebration. So that's the amazing part. You meet people from everywhere.
Very cool. So let's get back to Mayan Analytics. First of all, I have to ask you, how did you come up with that name? It's a very unique name. And obviously most people are familiar with the Mayan culture.
Yeah. So like I said, I was born and raised in Mexico. So I wanted to kind of highlight that it's a Latinx found business. But more importantly, I'm also based out of Playa del Carmen right now, where there's the region where had a very strong Mayan presence. And more importantly, like the Mayan culture thrived in the jungle. That was their environment. And so Amazon is a jungle. So it just felt very fitting that Mayan Analytics would be the provider that's going to help Amazon sellers tame the Amazon jungle.
Does anybody ever really tame the Amazon jungle?
No, it's a monster, but we do the best that we can, you know, and there's a lot of opportunity to be had there.
That's what I've heard. So we talked earlier and you said that you went through the Y Combinator, like 100% remote, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you think of Y Combinator, there's a big one here in San Francisco, and I've met a lot of people that moved to San Francisco for it, and you stayed where you are, correct?
Yeah, it's just part of the experience that comes in the current state of the world. The whole process was remote. You know, you submit your application online, that obviously is remote, but then normally they fly you out to California if you're invited to interview so that you meet the partners and then do all that. But we did it fully remote. We actually had a bit of a scare in that they ask you to leave the rest of the day. Like, you have a interview slot, but they also asked you to leave the rest of the day available in case they wanted to re-interview you. We were asked to re-interview, and the interview said 6:30. And when I looked at my computer, it now said 6:37. So we frantically jump into the Zoom, and there's the waiting room, and we're like frantically emailing the Y Combinator team, like, "Oh, we're on the call. Please let us in. Like, I'm so sorry we were a little late." Like, I didn't want to make up a random excuse because I didn't like anyone to lie. And then I've had about like 7 minutes of heart attack in is when I realized that, oh wait, I'm on East Coast hours and that's 6:30 Pacific time, so it's still 2 hours from now. So that added to the overall fun experience of being remote. And then in the actual program, I think Y Combinator has done a great job. We were the second batch, I believe, that to go fully through the remote experience. And you know, I think there were two things that stood out to me the most about this experience. So on the pro side is that we didn't have to move to California. So my two of my co-founders are young parents. So that was a lot more easy to digest from their end. They're like, okay, I don't have to relocate or move my family or think about how to handle that with my spouse and my children. So that was extremely beneficial in that, you know, we didn't also the investment that Y Combinator made in us, we could actually put to work towards the business and not just to buy or rent these astronomical high rents in the Bay Area that they asked for. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, that when I think of the things that we had to be a lot more intentional about to get out of our Y Combinator experience was other founder interactions. In the typical YC program that's not going through the pandemic, you go to the building to kind of hear the talks or meet with your group or your section. But we had to do that all virtually. So you have to be a lot more intentional about trying to meet other founders and connecting and networking that way. But then again, on the other flip side, that what was good is it allowed us to really focus on our journey, even though like we are part of this collective journey that of all the YC founders and all the YC startups. It kind of allowed to create this barrier of no, like against noise to, you know, there's it, it's, it can be hard to not be influenced or motivated or demotivated by how everybody else around you is doing, because they might be at a different stage and they might have $50,000 in monthly revenue or $100,000, and someone that's just starting that has two or three, it could be discouraging if you let that get to you. So that part to me was, I think, very beneficial in that it allows us to immerse ourselves in the areas that we needed to and interact with others, but then draw back and focus just on our own journey. So
very cool. And have you stayed in touch with your fellow YC inductees?
Yeah. So I'm actually going through a mental fitness kind of experience with three other YC founders. We're planning another section call with, so there's the batch is like the largest, that's everyone at the YC program per like session. Then you have your group, which is a smaller subsection, and then you have a section, which is like the smallest group. So we're planning to have another call with the section mates in the next week or so.
Wow, very cool. And as you told me earlier, you recently got funding. So now that you had a taste of the remote work, do you think now that you're getting funded, are you going to have an office, or are you going to continue to be remote?
Yeah, so this is an ongoing discussion that we have as a team, but we're leaning more and more towards just staying all remote in the sense that it allows us to reach talent that we might otherwise not be able to encourage or onboard, just because, hey, you can stay wherever you want, travel to wherever you want, and not really be bound by the expectation that you have to show face at an office. And, you know, we have the benefit that many of the both, well, nowadays, like everyone has the remote experience now, but prior to that, two other founders and myself had been remote since prior to the pandemic. So we're used to what that lifestyle means and what that experience brings. And I think it's just a matter of how you approach the potential downsides of, like, okay, well, you don't get the water cooler talk, or you don't get like this more quote unquote organic bonding, but it's just a matter of like, okay, well, now we just have to be more intentional about it. And I think in some ways it works better because it allows everyone to connect. And if you approach it right, which we draw a lot of inspiration from GitLab, another YC company that's fully remote, and they are extremely well documented on this, is that, yeah, you can leverage technology to allow people to live a better life today, in that sense, like, hey, well, maybe I have a dog, and because I am remote, I'm able to walk him more often, make sure that he has a good life. Or if my two co-founders, they're young parents again, they have time that they block off, they can just be with family because they don't have to worry about commuting and all that. So it seems like we're going to stay fully remote just to stay ahead of the curve.
Well, good. And does Y Combinator actually go over some of the, I mean, how to have a remote company? Is that part of the training now?
Not so much. I think like the just part of the experience you had to, again, apply and do it remote, that I think they already kind of gauged that, well, if you are of enough quality for us to accept you, then we believe that you'll be able to handle that. But yeah, it's an interesting experience having to, as we were mentioning earlier, we're growing our team and having to go through that whole process of finding talent that, you know, it's like I said, the plus is that we're not limited to our geographic location. So we have people in the East Coast, Central Time, West Coast, and bringing everyone together. It's been fun, and having to again get creative on how do we create that team chemistry, that morale in this setting where we haven't met many of each other in person yet, and probably won't for another few months. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, hopefully soon. I mean, I don't know if you know, California is going to be 100% open in a month and a day. So I don't know what the status is in Mexico, but we're a month away.
Wow. Yeah, that's, it's going to be exciting to see how people readjust. And I think it's also going to create a really exciting opportunity into those companies that how well do they embrace or adapt the new reality that people are going to be used to remote. And some, I think that's going to be a key differentiator for as a perk or as a way to lure in talent is that like, hey, well, if you already show that you can work well from anywhere, we're open to that. Whereas some other companies are forcing everyone to come back into the office, I think they might lose out on some people, both either people leaving or people not wanting to come on board.
I think you're right. Well, Ernesto, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been great talking to you. I know it's, you know, dinner time there. And as we talk, we both might be indulging in some chicken wings tonight. So I'll let you get to that. And I've got about an hour to go before I indulge in that one of my favorite dishes. So have a great weekend. And it was great talking to you.
Thank you so much, Mark. Have a great weekend as well. Right. And enjoy those chicken wings.
I will.
Extra spicy.